Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 25th at 8.04 a.m. in State Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Westlake, Representative Sadler, Representative Tallarico, Representative Drummond, and myself, Co-Chair, Representative Parrish. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to thank Christy Blair, the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary, and Kira from the Juno LIO for being here today to provide a transcript and recording of our meeting. My committee aide, Nate Graham, is here to help with any member needs during the committee meeting. We have two orders of business today, a hearing for House Bill 156, an act relating to municipal property tax exemption or deferral for economic development property, and SB 63, regulation of smoking. The first order of business will be to hear House Bill 156. We have before us House Bill 156, version 30-LS0602/A. It is my intent to offer an amendment and to hold this bill in committee. Let the record reflect that we have been joined by my co-chair, Representative Fansler. Before we delve into 156, I'll give a brief refresher on the subject of the bill for anyone who might be watching a recording or joining us online. House Bill 156 amends existing statute by changing the period available for a property tax exemption for an economic development property from a period of 5 years with optional 5-year extensions during which the property would pay into would pay the portion levied for schools and education to a designated period. And that's the main thing. There are a couple of issues, a couple of things with the bill which trouble me. One is the clause on, you could see what's been deleted on page 3. Starting on line 1, they've deleted has not been used in the same trade or business in another municipality for at least 6 months before the application for deferral or exemption is filed. This paragraph does not apply if the property was used in the same trade or business in an area that has been annexed to the municipality within 6 months before the application for deferral or exemption is filed. This paragraph does not apply to inventories. I had to read that, I think, a dozen times before I understood what it meant. Essentially, it means that if you have a real estate property, let's say a set of apartments in Cake or Ketchikan, which has received this property tax deferral or exemption, actually it's an exemption, and then someone in, let's say, Utqiagvik wants to have a property tax exemption of the same sort. You can't if they're in the same trade or business. You can't for a period of 6 months. So that is, I think, problematic. Oh, I'm quite sure. But we can, of course, get someone from the department online. It's just a peculiar piece of language. Of course, if there are any members of the committee who have different interpretations, I'd be happy to hear them. And if Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was assuming that because it was being deleted, we weren't going to worry about it. But a piece of property can't move. So to talk about a piece of property in Ketchikan and another one in Utqiagvik, which... which pronunciation I haven't gotten a hold of yet. It's not possible. However, lines of proper boundaries of municipalities have been known to change, either to expand or I don't know if they've contracted. They probably never contracted. They always try to expand. And that could possibly be what that refers to. But I wasn't worrying about it because it was being deleted. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that it matters what we think that meant.
It has been moved to page 2 in the same bill, which is unfortunately missing from my bill packet. Brief at ease. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee is returning to order. We have been joined by Representative Rauscher. Welcome. And Senator Machicki, welcome. We have before us House Bill 156 in a complete form, and we have a question from a member of the committee as to the interpretation of page 2, line 11 through 16, and we're going to see if we can get someone from, Economic Development online to provide a clarity.
Mr. Chairman, is there a Representative
Sadler.
Thank you. Is there a representative from the sponsor's office here to perhaps help us interpret the bill?
Not that I see. We can, of course, ask one of them to come down.
I would appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Now, would you please call her phone and let them know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's a bill she's worked on for a couple of years, and so the representative who's a sponsor might be able to provide some illumination.
Well, it's a very reasonable suggestion, Representative Sadler. My trouble with this, well, my more quibbling and correctable points of trouble with this bill are around the language that it uses. For instance, a municipality that is a school district was in the original language of the statute. And I don't know how many municipalities that are school districts have the power to levy property taxation in the first place. Now, municipalities which overlap with school districts, like the Juneau School District, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we recently learned that even the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation is a municipality. Which
do we have an ease?
Of course. We are at ease. While we are waiting for someone from Representative Tilton's office or the pertinent department to come online, we will be, what's the pertinent motion? Setting this aside for a moment. We'll be picking it back up during the course of this meeting. And we will go to Senate Bill 63 for the purpose of entertaining amendments and answering questions. Representative Fansler, I'd be ready to entertain an amendment.
All right. At this time, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee adopt Amendment Number 1 for SB 63, and that amendment is 30-LS0024/N.4.
I will object for the purpose of discussion.
And perhaps we could have Bill's sponsor come.
Oh, gosh darn it. Brief it is. There seems to be something wrong with our printer. Once more, we didn't have any of the even pages. Amendment number 1 on page 2, line 29 through 30, deletes the words, and for context, it's in the subsection which reads, an individual may not smoke outdoors. At present, the bill reads, at an area located at a public or private school or a state or municipal park designated as a children's playground. That language would be replaced with, an individual may not smoke outdoors at, an individual may not smoke outdoors within 10 feet of playground equipment located at a public or private school or a state or municipal park while children are present. And on page 3, lines 9 through 11, we delete a reasonable distance of an entrance, open window, or heating or ventilation system air intake vent on a vessel covered by this section as determined by the vessel owner or operator in charge, to be replaced with a reasonable distance as determined by the owner or operator of an entrance, open window, or heating or ventilation system air intake vent of 1, a vessel covered by this section, or 2, a long-term care facility as defined by AS 47.62.090. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask the maker of the motion what he would define as a reasonable distance, and that you understand that would leave it entirely to the discretion of the owner or operator as to what reasonable would be, unless you have some other references to what reasonable is defined as.
And if you like, perhaps I'm going to punt on that to several of our folks that are online, Representative Sadler. But my understanding with this, and perhaps we can also hear from the bill sponsor, because I believe I'd like to hear his thoughts on this amendment, but my understanding of this amendment, just to speak to it generally, is to address a concern that we had of people perhaps getting somehow dinged for smoking outside near a playground. That's part one. And then the part two is to distinguish the long-term care facility fact that kind of came up in public testimony, I think, on Thursday. So that was the understanding of this. But perhaps someone, Ms. Muse from the Department of Health and Social Services, could speak better to the reasonable distance portion of it.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Fansler, the sponsor of the bill, having probably worked on this more than the folks in the department, might have some information. So either one of those folks would probably be able to answer my question. So
yep. That's totally fine.
Senator Marchicki.
Good morning. Thank you. There's a couple things we heard during, as we've worked this bill through last 3 years, really. It's gotten better every day. And one of the things we asked about was how do you pick a distance that sort of provides for the safety of employees from secondhand smoke but doesn't regulate the world that chooses to consume tobacco outside of a facility. So on the first piece, I can tell you a little story about building a playground, much like the one that unfortunately Juno lost. We did a similar program, and I'm very sorry about that. Let me know what we can do to help. But we built a similar playground, all volunteer labor. Entire community was involved, hundreds of people. And on the day that we cut the ribbon, there was a 45-ish-year-old parent in the treehouse with their kids smoking. So we thought, all right, you shouldn't be smoking in the playground. But I think what's reasonable, we're not trying to regulate smoking outside. We're just not. What's reasonable is a distance from the playground equipment. And several members of your caucus just said, hey, we really support this bill. We want you to loosen it up a little bit in those facilities. And I think it's reasonable. So it's just when you're right around the playground equipment, we think that it's a fair request. On the reasonable distance on vessels and long-term care facilities, they really get to determine that. The law is not going to step in and say that person is only 36 inches from the rear door, although he's a World War II veteran and is in a wheelchair. We want him to be out in the snow further. This leaves it up to the operator to determine a reasonable distance. So that distance is definable by the rules of that particular establishment or long-term care facility.
Sure. Representative Sadler.
I guess I'll cut to the chase. Through the chair, Senator Macicki, do you support the amendment, both sections, one or the other, neither?
I support both amendments. I think it makes it a better bill and makes it more reasonable and safer for those few that may have a physical reason to not be the other distance away.
Okay. Let me follow up.
Follow up.
And because words are our bills, on line 4 of Amendment 1, it says, when children are present, I don't want to be persnickety, but you really can't card kids to find out if they're under 12 or under 16 or under 18. So could you actually, for the sponsor or the maker of the amendment, what is your understanding of who children are referenced in line 4 of your amendment? And how is that determined? Or whomever.
Representative Macicki. Senator, pardon
thank
me.
You. I would be honored to be either or both.
Watch it.
Children would be under 18 years old. But the other thing we found about our playground is that at night, young adults like to come and play, and if they choose to have a cigarette and the little ones aren't around, then I think that crosses over into me saying that people that choose to smoke shouldn't be allowed to, and that's not what this bill's about.
One follow-up comment, and I'll pull back. I know that in my home district there have been several instances of that tremendously cushy recycled rubber product being highly flammable and highly entertaining for about 20 minutes. So I would hope that anyone listening in the future would say that adults should not be smoking at playgrounds and lighting things on fire.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may be picking nits, but the playground equipment itself, upon which children climb, walk, hang, otherwise, may be well within 10 feet of the boundary of, or even more than 10 feet of the boundary of the ground cover, you know, the boundary of the rubber tire stuff that's, that Representative Sadler referred to. Do we want people smoking on top of that stuff if it's more than 10 feet from the actual equipment? And then, and I don't, as a person who's participated in cleanups and cleaning up thousands of cigarette butts, do we want the cigarette butts ending up in the playground ground cover and potentially starting a fire? Or are we going to rely on people's general smarts at keeping cigarettes out of the ground cover itself?
Senator Macicki?
Well, you know, legislation is about a balance, and being one whose family participates in the cleanup of our very cool playground, we find lots of things that shouldn't be in a playground, but we can't legislate against that. So I think it's a reasonable compromise. Right? I don't think we can control the activities of the whole world and everything they do every day. This is really about protecting employees, and in this case, children on rides from secondhand smoke. And I'm not sure we can make the world a safer place in every instance. So I think it's a fair balance.
Or a cleaner place. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Merv Sadler.
Thank you. On a technical basis, I heard the amendment introduced. Did not hear objection. We're having discussion, but I'm not going to object to this. I don't know if I can call the question or see if there's anyone has an objection to this or just like to make progress through it. It sounds like a reasonable amendment. So
I'm ready to go with it.
I did object for the purposes of discussion.
Okay. Were there any further questions on the amendment for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, I will. I'm sorry, Representative Fancy.
And this isn't a question as much as also just one comment, maybe to follow up and address what Representative Drummond was concerned about. I think that, you know, this is also a situation where there was a worry, what if there's playground equipment that's really close by and you're walking on a sidewalk or you're walking your dog in the morning and things like that. So I think it is a tough balancing act, but I think this amendment, you know, is at least trying to find that balancing act, and hopefully we can convince folks to use their best judgment when it comes to these things in the future of smoking outside near playgrounds.
Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, just thank you, through the chair. Just from the article on the fire and some of the discussion here, it seems like maybe we should be discussing materials that are allowed to be included in the building of a playground. I don't mean in this bill. I mean later on. I mean, if they're that flammable, if they're that easy to catch fire, maybe we need to look into that in the future on what should be allowed to be built in a playground and what isn't. I know that ours in Sutton has wood chips, which is a little bit harder to start a really major fire along the ground like that, where tires and pieces of plastic, I believe is what I read in the article, pieces of tires, constituted to a great part of spreading this fire so fast and making it so hard to put out. So I think maybe just looking at the future of what we allow playgrounds in the state to be, I think that may be something we need to look at, not in this bill, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I may be thinking outside the box too far, but it just seems like that was part of the major problem in this playground.
I'm sure we'll all be interested in seeing what work is done on that in the future. Representative Tallarico.
Just one comment. I was involved with the playground. Any specialized ground cover we had, the sand pit that we had, the pea gravel that we put in there, and the barrier fence were all considered playground equipment. And I personally consider that shredded rubber to be part of the playground equipment, mm-hmm. as well as we had a big sand pit, and it was just sand for kids mm-hmm. went, but it's playground equipment. The fence that protects the playground is also playground equipment. So I think all in all, I would say that this covers everything that we would expect.
Thank you. It does exacerbate the problem observed by Representative Fensler, however, where if a fence around a playground is considered playground equipment, it goes, I think, beyond what the bill sponsor intended by this amendment.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Of course, Senator Michiki.
If at 11 p.m. a young adult is smoking a cigarette in a playground, with this change, they're not going to have to live in fear of paying a fine. I think you have to take it to that level. And if they are smoking among children at 3 p.m., they may be fined. Mm-hmm. And I think it covers that situation. So I've been down these rabbit trails before. You can spend a lot of time on them, but at some point you have to plant a flag and just say, I think this covers the intent. And I think this amendment does. If I may make a comment.
Of course.
Ground cover on playgrounds, not only the material, but the thickness, the depth, is all regulated. If you build a platform, if you build a playground that passes, can't remember the name of the national organization that you have to satisfy, but all of that is covered. The flammability of the material and the depth that's required for protecting kids from a fall is so a well-built playground likely has that, but if you really want something to burn and you take the time to ensure that you have adequate fuel to cause it to burn, by golly, you can be successful. So That's another balancing point, I think.
I'm still a little bit concerned about the point which Representative Tallarico raised, because if at 3 p.m. I'm to be walking past a playground within 10 feet of the fence surrounding the playground and am smoking, under the law narrowly interpreted, if there are children present, then I'd be potentially subject to a fine. So, of course, that'd be a fault of overzealous employee or enforcement. But we live in a world where overzealous enforcement is a possibility. I wonder if the bill's sponsor would be amenable to within 10 feet of playground equipment, exclusive of ground covering and fencing would be a reasonable modification.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It sounds like half of your committee wants to go one way and half wants to go the other. And I just want to remind you that this is the law in half the state right now, and three citations have been written since it became law over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that we need to be overly concerned. It purposely has a light footprint on enforcement. It's largely just saying, hey, we think employees should be protected, and we're hoping that you come along. I mean, the fines are very low, and they have not. It has not been something that's been heavily enforced, because folks have kind of, I think a lot of people are relieved in the workplace when this goes away, and even those that want to fight it eventually kind of go, you know, this is sort of nice. It's nice going to work and not having to breathe cigarette smoke all night. So I think it's a fair balance, but it's, you have control of the bill, and if you find that to be important, then you have every right to change it accordingly.
Actually, the three citations have been written is enough to put my mind at ease on that particular subject. And thus, I will, unless there are any further questions, I will withdraw my objection. Seeing no further objections, Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Representative Fenzer.
Yes, I'd like to move Amendment Number 2 to SB 63, version 30-LS0024 /N.5.
Object. For purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. On page 4, line 28, it talks about, well, the subsection starts with, nothing in this section prohibits an individual from smoking. The current language reads, in an establishment licensed under AS17.38, that is a freestanding building. It would change the language. Oh, dear. The amendment wasn't quite drafted in line with my expectation. It would insert after building, if the smoking is in accordance with regulations adopted by the Marijuana Control Board, created under AS17.38.080. So essentially it's saying that the smoking would be prohibited if it was under the regulations adopted by the Marijuana Control Board. I had intended to also delete the word freestanding, which I will now make as an amendment to my amendment. That is on page 4, line 27. Delete the word freestanding. Because I believe that that more properly belongs in the purview of the Marijuana Control Board to regulate consumption of marijuana at marijuana establishments. Representative Drummond.
Mr. Chairman, I'm slightly confused. In an establishment licensed under AS 17.38 that is a freestanding building, do you mean to replace, or do you mean to insert, if the smoking is in accordance following AS 17.38?
As
you say, in an establishment licensed under AS 17.38 that is a building, if the smoking is in accordance with regulations. That to me, that's confusing.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair to Representative Drummond. I think in that case, although grammatically we're both in the word business, I understand what you're saying. I don't think that modifies AS 17. I think that modifies establishment. If you were to try to set it off in apposition with commas after establishment and after 0.38, it might be a little more precise. But I think in this case, we might want to give deference to the bill drafters. I think on its face, it's nonsensical. The statute would be a freestanding building. The clear interpretation would be it's an establishment that is a building. But we are also copy editors ourselves, so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank you, Representative Sadler. So I am in the situation of offering an amendment to my amendment.
So this
would be line 27, deleting the word freestanding.
So point of clarification, this is a conceptual amendment.
Yes.
To amendment number 2.
This is a conceptual amendment to amendment number 2.
Okay. I guess I should object for purposes of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I suppose. We should have done that right off the get-go. But is there any further discussion on this item? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm afraid I must say, if you're amending the amendment, if you could point specifically where in Amendment 2 you're making your change, I'd appreciate that.
I'm adding the line 27.
Sir, if you're going to amend the amendment, you have to refer to the lines in the amendment.
Ah, sure.
Otherwise, you're actually amending the language of the bill. So.
Mm-hmm. It would be adding a line 4 to the amendment.
Okay.
Line 4 would read, page 4, line 27, following the word A, delete freestanding.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome, Representative Sadler. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I will, Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify for the record, is it your intent to exempt buildings that are attached, that is not freestanding?
That would be at the discretion of the Marijuana Control Board.
Okay.
Yeah. Representative Rauscher.
So who is, through the chair, who is now in charge of whatever regulation we're trying to stick in this? I mean, we have a control board here for marijuana, and we have another. Who's actually regulating the first part, and who's regulating that part?
Oh, they're both nested. You'll see that.
I mean, who's giving the fine?
The final enforcement would probably fall to public safety or municipal officials. The Marijuana Control Board, of course, would have the authority to remove the licensure from the establishment of it, if it came to that.
So you have two agencies involved in this particular line that's going to have to regulate that? Is that what we're saying?
No, it would all fall under the Marijuana Control Board.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it would help to know, I believe the Marijuana Control Board is discussing whether to allow on-premise smoking and hasn't determined that yet. So that's the purpose of in accordance with the regulations adopted, whenever mm-hmm. they adopt them.
That's correct.
So I believe that's the purpose of this amendment, is to allow for on-premise smoking should the Marijuana Control Board determine that there can be on-premise smoking of marijuana in a licensed facility.
That's correct.
I believe.
Actually, that's not necessary within the bill. The bill already makes provision for that in its original form. This is to give the Marijuana Control Board maximum latitude in their authority and regulatory authority. Representative Tallarico.
I was just curious if the bill's sponsor had any thoughts on this particular amendment.
Senator Machicki.
Well, I support the original amendment, and if you choose to adopt the freestanding piece, that's up to you. I think there's something to think about. There's a reason we talk about freestanding. So think about being in a mini mall. You've had your business for 25 years, and you're running a child's bookstore or something. And suddenly out the alcohol or marijuana control board decides that on-premise consumption is okay, and they move into a mini mall, and suddenly you're sharing air with a marijuana dispensary that allows smoking. If that's your intention by allowing it in any building, then you should support the amendment to the amendment. If you believe that that probably is only appropriate in a freestanding building where the other tenants wouldn't be subject to the marijuana smoke, then it may be more difficult to support. I do support the regulation going to the Marijuana Control Board. We already have someone doing that, but I think there may be one piece worth perhaps not supporting. If you're subjecting others in the abutting shops, many of these mini malls just don't have any ventilation whatsoever, right? So whatever they're breathing, you're breathing. We did exempt the vape shops because I've not been convinced that the vapes are traveling the same way that marijuana smoke or tobacco smoke would, just because I don't know enough about it. So that's kind of the question. I'm not going to make a fuss either way, but I think it's important to understand why the word freestanding is in this bill at all.
Thank you.
Representative Westlake.
Yes, thank you. And through the chair, I'm still trying to wrap my head around marijuana being treated exactly as tobacco product. I think there's going to be different engagement rules, if you will, if you're going to use a certain product. I don't think you're going to see them out there. And when we start to mix apples and oranges, in my opinion, it's the tobacco police going to come over and regulate the marijuana, or the marijuana police going to come over and do the tobacco products. I think both are going to be different places and or different enforcement agencies, if you will. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious because I'm really getting confused here. Because marijuana is legal, we're putting it in with tobacco products, and I don't know if it's a tobacco or not. So there you go.
And that is why I introduced this amendment, to provide maximum latitude to the Marijuana Control Board, which I think has shown a pretty good record of erring on the side of caution. Okay. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a health bill about secondhand smoke, and it would be regulated by the Department of Health and Social Services, and that too would be the enforcement in this. So this is the one place that you cross over. I know it's a little awkward, but unfortunately that is who would be, if there is ever an enforcement action, it would be in the same department.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although this discussion is going a little bit far afield of the conceptual amendment, I'm going to ask a question just to get it out on the table here. On page 11 of the bill, line 8, the definition of smoking, it talks about smoking means using this, that, or the other, or tobacco or plant product intended for inhalation. And I guess through the chair, I'll ask Senator Machicki, does plant product include marijuana?
Senator Machicki.
In the aspect of secondhand smoke in the workplace, it does.
Thank you, sir. And I would just telegraph a little bit, having heard the sponsor's explanation, I'm less likely to support the conceptual amendment 2 to amendment 1, 2, except conceptual amendment 1 to amendment 2.
Certainly. So I will assume that the objection is maintained. Representative Fensler.
Is there, thank you for the chair, is there anyone that can speak to, so what is our current status right now is that marijuana on-site consumption is not allowed. Is that correct?
And that is correct. At present, the Marijuana Control Board is considering the subject.
And follow-up. Theoretically, we can't comment, I guess, until they would have to make the decision to go forward with on-site consumption before this would even come into play.
That's correct.
And follow-up then.
Follow-up.
Really, we have a lot of conjecture as to we certainly don't want the situation that I think Senator Machicki laid out in his example. But we have no reason to believe that the board would be able to theoretically license which establishments could have on-site consumption and things like that, but we have no real knowledge if that's going to be the case until they make a broader decision.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that not tracking what the Marijuana Control Board is doing lately, I believe that they are if they have this discussion, there is the issue of whether to allow on-site consumption in a freestanding building or in a building connected to other buildings or a shop in a mall. That's part of their discussion. But I'm not sure how deleting freestanding helps Senate Bill 63. That may not be accomplishing what the sponsor wants to accomplish. So I would object to deleting freestanding at this time. Whatever the Marijuana Control Board does is separate from this bill. But I know they're having the discussion about whether to allow it at all and what types of buildings to allow it in and what types of equipment those buildings will be required to maintain in terms of clearing the air.
Senator Machicki.
So our laws are all sort of, there's a relationship between all of our statutes, right? And your amendment, your original amendment, which I do support, says, hey, this is kind of in their lane until it crosses into the smoking in the workplace, right? And we find it essentially impossible to eliminate the exchange of air between two spaces in a mini mall. So this makes the statement to the Marijuana Control Board that it's in your lane. Every part of it is in your lane except for where it crosses into the workplace safety of smoke in a mini mall. So I do support your original amendment. I think the other one crosses into sort of countering what Senate Bill 63 is trying to do, which I think was your primary point. But we have many laws that when boards are looking at what they can do, they're going to consider these other sort of lanes and say, well, okay, that lane is already established and we're not going to cross over it. But we either agree that it should happen in a freestanding building or not. And we also, you know, realize that there's this lane that says we're not going to allow it where it interacts with those other businesses and employees in a mini mall. So if that helps clarify anything, I mean, I think that's something our boards and commissions have to deal with on a daily basis of existing statute versus what they're authorized to do in their particular statutes.
Did you have a comment, Representative Fensler?
I did, through the chair. What is the definition of freestanding?
I'll punt that to the bill's sponsor.
Freestanding is a building that does not share a common wall. Really, the purpose of freestanding is where they don't share an air exchange.
So if it happens to be a building that is abutted to another building, but they have two separate exterior walls, that's freestanding. If it happens to be a building where through this kind of ceiling, they're sharing the same airspace, then it's not freestanding.
Representative Fansworth?
Follow up, if I may. So in downtown Juneau here, where there are multiple establishments, are they all freestanding, or are they abutting and sharing walls, and how does one find out that kind of information?
One really good way to explain that, I think, is I was looking at the Messerschmitt building last night that was built in 1914, and then I was looking at the building next to it that was built in 1946. And when you look at the exterior walls, they're real close. They're kind of touching, but they're two separate buildings. So it's a freestanding building. So I don't know if that helps. Even though you may have a long line of buildings on a street, the ones that are the same building that were built at the same time are not freestanding in between, but the one that's sitting off by itself, even though it may be touching, could also be a freestanding building.
And follow up, if I may.
And follow up.
How is it a freestanding bill if you say have, or a building if you have, like many buildings do, say retail on the first floor and then apartments above? And how would this bill affect that?
That would not be a freestanding building. But if you have a building set off to the side that's freestanding, guess what I'm saying is you can't tell by appearance. You're going to have to evaluate if it's actually a separate building that shares an airspace. If you're in a building that shares an airspace with apartments, then you're not in a freestanding building.
Representative Rauscher?
Thank you. According to Investor World, freestanding building is a structure that is not attached to another structure. A detached garage is considered a freestanding building.
Thank you.
Whatever that can help.
It is useful for illuminating the distinction between the intention of freestanding structure, which, as Senator Michicki described, is shared air, and the reality of the term, which is shared wall. Representative Drummond.
I believe it would be shared wall or ceiling. It's unfortunate that Juneau has been an example of fires, but a week ago or so, across from Salt on Seward Street, there was a fire in the wall of the camera shop, which is in the same building as a dress shop. And upstairs, there's a space upstairs, and the smoke was moving throughout that entire building and coming out of the eaves on the second floor. It was a real prime example of shared airspace. And the firefighters and the space between the building, it's a freestanding building, right? Two retail shops and an upstairs. The space between the camera shop and the next building up the hill was maybe 18 inches to 2 feet wide, that the firefighters had to break into that space in order to break into the wall of the camera shop from the outside to find the fire. And they also broke down the front door and attacked it from both sides. But I would never have believed that we would be using that as an example of shared airspace. But it was really clear that the smoke was moving throughout that whole building. I feel sorry for the dress shop owner because all of her inventory is now soaked in smoke.
It's been a rough week for Ms. Brown.
Very rough week. But I believe a freestanding building shares neither walls nor ceilings with another. Well, it could. I suppose it could be a freestanding building with multiple stories. But if there was a retail space in that building, that would not be considered freestanding because there was another space above it or next to it in a freestanding building. So it have to, I believe it would have to be a freestanding structure that only contained one place of business. In this particular case, I think we're talking about marijuana businesses. But I also think it's hard to conjecture, if that's the verb, what the Marijuana Control Board is going to decide. But I do agree that I don't think we should be deleting the word freestanding, and I'm going to object to that conceptual amendment.
Representative Fensler.
I guess I'll speak out in favor of the conceptual amendment just because I feel like sometimes you need to not bind the hands of the Marijuana Control Board. And I can't think of many places that you could do this, but I could think of many situations where you could require ventilation systems or require things like that that would make this more amenable. So I'd prefer that we don't bind the Marijuana Control Board and we let them work through it and use their guidance and their knowledge in this area, that they can make proper decisions and not install a marijuana consumption shop next to a children's bookstore if there's not proper ventilation and prohibitions put into place. So,
thank you, Representative Fensler. As the maker of the amendment, I will speak to it briefly. I come from a town with a lot of really, really old buildings. And heaven help us, the code hasn't been consistent over the decades. I do think that it's appropriate to have pretty stringent requirements about shared air. I certainly don't want anyone to be exposed to any sort of intoxicant without their knowing consent. However, when you've got two buildings which do not share an airspace and simply share a wall or have leaned up against one another over the course of years or to save a little time on construction, I'm inclined to want to make a carve out for them. However, I don't think I got the votes, but pro forma, we will, if the objection is maintained, call the roll.
I don't maintain my objection, but I gather others have. No.
Who would like to object?
No.
I will.
Representative Drummond had objected.
Or Representative Drummond had objected.
Thank you. Representative Drummond. And if you'd please call the roll.
Yes. Conceptual Amendment 1 to Amendment 2. Representative Tallarico.
No.
Representative Rauscher.
No.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Westlake.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
No.
Co-Chair Fansler?
Yes.
Co-Chair Parrish?
Yes.
3 yea, 4 nay.
Having received 3 yeas and 4 nays, conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number 2 has failed to pass. We now have before us amendment number 2, which I believe we have previously discussed. If there is no objection, amendment number 2 has been adopted. We have been thank you, Senator Michiki. We have been joined by the state assessor, Marty McGee, who is located in Anchorage and is available for questions. Senator Michiki, before you leave, I would like to present just a few questions to be followed up on it at your convenience. One is, On page, I believe it's page 5, it requires signage, and on page 6, it says that the department will furnish signs to a person who requests them. How many establishments do you anticipate having some need for signage?
I'm happy to get that to you. We have, I don't have the exact number. Most facilities have them. The reason we amended part of the bill is that the new bill required the signs to be changed. They no longer are required to be changed. And the reason it doesn't have a fiscal note is that anyone that requires a sign that is not paper, we have a sponsor that is providing those signs. So I don't have the exact number. I'm sure that no one does. But we specifically, again, wanted to make this have the least amount of impact possible. So the existing signs that are in place right now suffice.
That's commendable. We have a few other questions, which I'll forward to your office.
Okay. Well, I'm here. Happy to answer them if you'd like. Mm-hmm. But whatever works best for the committee is fine with me. So.
Certainly. Thank you again, Senator Marchicki.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll be holding this bill for further action and returning now to House Bill 156.
Before we move off that one, Mr. Chair, be curious to know, are there other amendments that are likely to come by, or what further action we will be seeing on the bill?
There is another amendment which a member of our body is working on.
Of our committee body?
No.
Okay.
House Bills, I'm sorry, Senate Bill 63. There's another amendment which is being drafted. We will return now to House Bill 156 to finally receive some clarity on the question about the exemptions and deferrals. Mr. McGee, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. So, if I'm entirely honest with you, I don't really understand why the language on page 2, lines 11 through 16, is the way it is. Would you please walk us through the effects of that section of the bill?
I hope I'm operating on the current version of the bill. I think I am. The section we're talking about, the additional language says it starts with a designated period. A municipality may apply an exemption or deferral under this subsection to taxes levied for special services in a service area that is supervised by a board under 29.35.460.
I'm afraid we're working off of different versions. We're on 30-LS0602/A. And the
02/A.
The language reads, that has not been used in the same trade or business in another municipality for at least 6 months before the application for deferral or exemption is filed. This paragraph does not apply if the property was used in the same trade or business in an area that has been annexed to the municipality within 6 months before the application for deferral or exemption is filed. This paragraph does not apply to inventories or ON Mr. McGee, would you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Yeah, Marty McGee, MCGEE. I'm the state assessor. I'm with the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, Department of Commerce.
So, Mr. McGee, would you please explain the import of that paragraph?
It's not a commonly used section of the law. My understanding is the purpose of that is that is to not erode the tax base and not to create a competitive advantage for one property owner over another, because the purpose is to encourage new investment and new equipment. So it's the another interpretation of that is that it property which has been subject to tax remains subject to tax, and only new property would be subject to the exemption under the provision. Is that helpful?
Somewhat. I'm afraid I don't understand why it's in another municipality.
I don't have any experience with a specific application of the law there, but my the example that comes to mind is equipment associated with a fish cannery or fish processing plant. It's moved from one fish processing plant to another. Why specifically that language was desired in the original version of the bill, I don't know. In my experience, I never dealt with property that was subject to that provision. And I was the assessor for Anchorage for 17 years.
So would I be correct in understanding that this provision applies to personal property rather than real property?
Yeah, but that distinction is a little hard to make because it isn't explicit in the law. So once a piece of equipment becomes affixed, wired into the wall or hooked to plumbing, it becomes real property. So even though it can be detached and moved, like fish processing equipment, the idea, I think, is that a operator doesn't shop different tax jurisdictions for a tax break and move his equipment just to avoid taxation. You wouldn't have that happening. It's not common here because our taxing jurisdictions are large, and you don't just move across the border into the next county and for a tax break. It's not a common business practice.
Thank you. That is that does provide some clarity. Now, it had been my concern that if a tax exemption were granted for a particular trade or business in one municipality, that it could not be granted in a different municipality for a six-month period. Was that explanation incorrect?
I think that's correct. That statement is correct.
So is it true then that if someone in Utqiagvik, and I'm sorry, Representative Westlake, would you please correct me on the pronunciation one more time?
Utqiagvik.
Were to receive a property tax exemption for a economic development property in, say, housing, that someone in Ketchikan would not be able to receive a property tax exemption in housing for 6 months?
Only if it were the same property. Nothing stopping a separate action for exemption in Ketchikan and Utqiagvik.
So it would only be if there were physical property transferred from the one location to the other.
Right, like the example of a fish processing plant moving a significant piece of equipment from one location to another.
Good, thank you. That substantially allays my concern on that issue. Another question that I had in the bill was in the first paragraph, page one, and actually this if I'm honest. This is a problem with the language as it exists within statute. In the existing statute, a municipality may provide for the renewal of the exemption under conditions established in the ordinance. However, under a renewal, a municipality that is a school district may only exempt all or a portion of the amount of taxes that exceeds the amount levied on other property for the school district. I'd like to understand that better. What can you tell me about a few municipalities that are school districts?
All boroughs are school districts. First-class cities are school districts. So Dillingham is a school district as a first-class city, as an example, that doesn't have a borough.
Okay.
We have several first-class cities like that in the state, but that's the first one that comes to mind. The legislative intent, as I understand it, of the original language was to preserve and protect funding for schools so that a significant economic investment was made in the community, but they still had to support schools, not the rest of the millage associated with it.
So by extension, would it be correct to say that by deleting this portion of language, we are removing some requirement for supportive schools?
Yes, and typically when you look at the total millage for almost every taxing jurisdiction in the state, about half of the millage is associated with education and schools.
Well, that's concerning.
It's significant. It's not a minor part of the tax bill.
Approximately half. We have a question from Representative Sadler.
Actually, thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have a representative from the sponsor's office. I think it might be helpful for me, at least, if we had an explanation as to what the intent of page 2, line 11, is, and then that might help create some context for how Amendment A3 might apply.
If you would please come forward and put yourself on record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Tilton. My apologies for not being here earlier. The bill hadn't been noticed. We weren't aware that it was the chair's intention to hear the bill again this morning. Give me one moment. I'm assuming you're talking about page 2, line 11 on version A, correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, well, he's cogitating. I know there's a lot of contingent language here, and the questions of economic development property are pretty intricate. So I would appreciate just kind of a plain language explanation of this, maybe some examples, just to help me understand the context of what this is aimed at would be helpful. Even though this is a bill I've heard before, I know that your boss has carried before. There's some details that would just be helpful to get a general explanation of.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler. So keep in mind that the language found on page 2, lines 11 through 16 is not new language. It is reinserted in a different location in the existing statute. This is language that's taken from the existing statute, and in drafting, the drafter felt like it was more appropriate to put at the front of these qualifying sections rather than at the back where it's currently structured in existing statute. As to the specific effect, it's really difficult to completely understand because the legislative history on the original statute is relatively thin, and if we had the drafter, Ms. Schutz, online, she could speak to that. We've spoken at length about some of the legislative history or lack thereof on some of the specific language. It's also difficult to understand or to predict exactly how this would work in the situation of perhaps two municipalities trying to pursue similar types of economic development projects, simply because in the entire history of this statute, to the best of our knowledge, the statute's only been exercised twice. Once here in Juneau with the expansion or development of the Alaska Brewing Company Brewery, and in the Mat-Su Borough, and I previously said the MTA Sports Center, and I was misspoken. It's the AT&T Recreational Fitness Center on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. That one occurred. The exemption was a three-year exemption that was exempted from 08 to 2011, and so the problem is we don't really have much of a data baseline to understand what the comparative result would be. So I can conjecture and opine about what that language in 11 through 16 really means, but because we don't have enough practical examples, it'd be really difficult. And I know I'd really have to defer, honestly, to the drafter and her more thorough knowledge of the legislative history.
Thank you, Mr. Hilliard. Are there any further questions for Mr. Hilliard?
Yes, sir.
Representative Sadler.
through the chair, Mr. Hilliard, again, knowing you've worked on this bill for a while, what would be the practical effect of Amendment A3 on the bill?
And through the chair, Representative Sadler, I appreciate that. I've only had about 30 minutes to look at that. I've actually asked for some analysis, particularly from the municipality of Anchorage. I would think that from a cursory review, Amendment A3 looks to be ultimately kind of contrary to what the sponsor's intent would be, or certainly not complementary, but that's a cursory review in the half an hour. So I apologize for not being able to offer more than that. But
And the chairman?
Representative Sadler.
Given that someone who's got more experience with this bill than I would have some trouble understanding this, I would hope for your indulgence to give us some time to analyze this amendment and understand its effect before we take a vote on it. My request.
Certainly. Certainly. We will hold this bill for future action and the amendment. Okay. We still have Mr. McGee online, the state assessor, who could help us gain still greater clarity, and Mr. Hilliard, who's been working with this bill for some time. If we would like, well, are there any further questions at this time? Representative Westlake.
Yes, and through the chair, Mr. McGee.
Yes, sir.
This, as it's written now, would it do away with the school tax, if you will, out there at that local level?
No, it doesn't do away with the school tax.
Thank you.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, Marty. This is Harriet Hello. Drummond. How are you?
Good.
I believe that the intent of the maker of the amendment is to not exempt this property from payment of school taxes. And if I'm correct, Mr. Chairman, does that amendment of lines 2 and 3 on that amendment, does that accomplish that objective?
Through the chair, for clarification, are we talking about Amendment A3?
That's correct.
I don't have Amendment A3 in front of me.
Okay, but then clearly, Mr. Chairman, we need some time to fully absorb the impact of all of the moving parts of this bill.
Very reasonable. For the time being, we will set aside this bill to be taken up at a future meeting. Is there any unfinished business before the committee? Seeing none, then the meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee is adjourned at 9:28 a.m.